On Get This here at Triple M. Do we sound different today? They're doing something to our headphones. I'm not sure what it is.
Tone, I've been rendered instantly Lee Simon, as we say around here.
Yeah.
So when the headphones, I put them on today, it was like I could feel my hearing disappearing.
So loud. You never know what we'll play next at extreme volumes into your ears.
I can't tell what we're playing now or next. Ever again. They're going to have to get someone to come and do sign language of the words of the songs at my house.
Who are we talking about here? It's myself, Tony Martin, please. What have you got?
Put him away.
Get off the horn, buddy.
My apologies.
We've got Ian Gavely. And, of course, Richard Marsland. Thank you very much. Welcome aboard. Very special show today. Richard Marsland has been up all night working on a sketch. Now, he was so busy on it, he had to turn down hanging out with Matt Damon at the premiere of that Bourne movie.
Yeah.
Didn't go along?
No, I didn't. I love the Bourne movies, though.
Yeah.
They're really great. I mean, I'm a big fan of them. Every time they come into the cinema, I love to go and see. It's sort of like what the Bond films could be like now, but I couldn't attend yesterday evening.
What is it, Matty D, Matty Damon, on the movie Pots and Pans, was waiting for you? And we had to send along Cecilia on the phone. With her boyfriend,
yes,
who's apparently a cameraman. Is that right? Or, sorry, fiancé. Pardon me.
That's right, yeah.
Sorry, guys, she's taken. Went along to the red carpet premiere, and she's telling me that because he's a cameraman for a TV station, all the other cameramen just went nuts as soon as he arrived. People think that Cecilia and fiancé, I don't know, our own Angie and Brad.
Fantastic. Oh, I love it. Jake Wall and Jennifer Hawkins.
And went back in three or four times, basically filling to see if Richard would show up. Too busy. Too busy to do the morning television on the community panel.
I was in trouble because of Freddy Krueger jumper was in the wash.
Oh, really?
And that's the only one, as you know.
Can you tell we're padding, listeners? This sketch has taken so long to mix down that it's not actually ready to go yet. Is that right?
That's right. It's still getting cooked up.
Well, if it's not ready, we're going to have to play Cavalier's Believe It or Not. So let that be a warning.
Hang on a second. So Cavalier's Believe It or Not, a segment that I have laboured over for minutes this morning and thought up on a tram one day. You're saying that that's now second fiddle to Marsland and his sketches.
What?
Why can't anything has been completed, hasn't it?
Is it there yet, Rich?
I'm not sure.
He's been sizzling it up all night. Have you got this amazing sketch, Mr. Barber?
Oh, there is something in there.
There is something in there.
Bad luck, because we're playing Believe It or Not instead.
No, we're going to hear this thing. Hit it, Richard.
Well, it might need a little bit of explanation.
Okay.
In that Bob Dylan is coming to town.
Yes, he is.
Everyone's very excited about that, singer-songwriter Bob Dylan.
It is Pussycat Doll.
It's being supported by the Pussycat Doll.
Is he coming in on this program? He loves talking to radio announcers. I know that.
I mean, he's got his own radio show, and I know he didn't want to come on this show.
See, if he'd gone along to that thing last night, we could have got Matt Damon in here.
Yeah, there we go.
What's happening? He's not coming in.
No.
Doing all interviews from the hotel room.
What's that about? They come 12,000 miles around the world, can't drive the last three blocks. Good point.
I'll just be here with some mints.
Okay.
Foot lotion. Well, no big names today, aside from Robin Butler, of course, in the second hour. But Bob Dylan fans, what have you got for them?
He is doing everything to get on this show.
He
is such a huge fan of the podcast. He listens to it all the time. You know, he wants to get on Get This. I'm not sure if we're going to say yes or no.
Well,
but he's doing his utmost to get on.
You see.
Have you heard the new ads?
No.
Into the pure fountain.
I don't understand what half those things were referring to. Donkey Pudgy, Meat Pie, Trey Law.
Brilliant, Rick.
Suck on that, Matt Damon. Is our show really this baffling?
Okay.
Nicely introduced.
Great job, Rick.
If you've never heard the show before, I apologise, but hey, we're going to bring you up to speed next with the return of Cavalier's Believe It or Not. I've decided that it's better if we hear ourselves back like we're on an AM radio program. It's pronunciation.
National service is the answer.
Of course. Tell us what you think.
What do you think?
Here's something they wouldn't dare attempt on the AM band. It's time for Cavalier's Believe It or Not. I hope you were singing along at home. I love how we used to complain about Nickelback all the time. Don't really hear them on Triple M anymore.
Gone,
except during this segment.
We're the only ones keeping them on air.
Somewhere, Chad Turton, Nate Kroger is having a good catch.
Jumping on a trampoline, drinking a Mai Tai.
Now, some people may not have heard Cavalier's Believe It or Not before. How does it work?
Pretty simply. Unlike the mounds of production and really good writing and amazing Bob Dylan impressions we've heard from Richard Marsland, I go to That's Life magazine and write out story titles and then try and trick you guys into thinking that ones that I've made up are actually from the magazine.
Ah, so some of these are actual stories from That's Life.
Others are Cavalier.
Right.
All right.
But, Richard, are you ready?
Yes, absolutely.
My donkeys are inseparable.
That has to be true.
Very true.
Very true.
Somebody has two donkeys.
Yes.
And they go everywhere together.
Right.
And they eat together and they sleep together.
Brilliant.
Platonically. Is there footage on YouTube?
Yes.
Is this in Australia?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
A suburban house and two donkeys, no trouble.
Los Angeles.
Is this something he's up to with the McMansion?
Could be.
Tony.
Yes.
I know a deer that can read.
Having long hours trying to teach my dog to read. I'm going to suggest that that's pure Cavalier.
It is Cavalier. People putting glasses on animals and pretending that they're reading, you know, like taking a photograph on them like a magazine, that doesn't work.
No.
I am willing to believe that they're a detective with a little hat and a magnifying glass.
And maybe a pipe.
And a pipe.
And bubbles come out of it.
And I'm also willing to believe that they know how to use a phone. Because it's conceivable, Tony.
Yes.
It's conceivable that an animal could knock off the receiver, smash its paws on the keypad, and then when they hear a voice, bark or meow.
That's true.
Yeah.
But reading, they can't read.
No, they can't read.
And why would they need glasses anyway?
Can they read the braille?
How would they get the prescription?
If the paw runs across the braille lettering, I mean, has that ever been tested?
And
spelled backwards is read. So what's the next thing is the dog thinks it's gone or something like that.
Don't know.
How did we get here?
What's going on?
Bob Dylan sent me.
Okay, you ready?
All right. Richard,
yeah?
I married a lawnmower dude.
There are lawnmower dudes.
And I would imagine that at some point, maybe, possibly, they could have romantic liaisons and maybe even get married. I'm going to say that's true.
It is true.
Someone got. Probably not as out there as I should have made that one.
No.
But some woman got $250 for sending out a story about how she liked a lawnmower guy and picked him up.
Oh, yeah. Slow week at the That's Life.
Really slow.
Surely the two-headed baby must have surfaced somewhere.
Yeah. Surely someone's cat solved a crime somewhere. All right. Finally you,
yeah.
Tony. My kids are hilarious.
I do know people with children. And I'm told some of them are hilarious. I'm going to suggest that. From That's Life.
Incorrect, my friend.
What?
They say my kids are hilarious, and they're clearly not. Listen to the things that they write in to say that their kids. This is a joke.
Even if you're saying that this isn't a story and you're now about to read it out, I don't understand. Well, was it from That's Life or?
Yeah.
It was from That's Life.
It was.
So that was an inappropriate wah-wah-wah-wah.
Oh.
In fact, I got it right. Okay.
Elizabeth writes in.
More soup? Maybe.
I had a I had a Mediterranean soup that I was making. And my kid grabbed the olives and ate a whole bunch of them. And then my husband explained, oh, I thought you had Mediterranean in your blood. My kid then turned to me and said, Daddy, is there a blood test for that?
That's not $250 worth.
That's not $250 worth of gear in that kid.
Unless that kid feeds a whole lot of valuable objects into a garbage disposal.
Absolutely right.
You're not getting $250.
The family heirloom get incinerated, maybe. Just eating olives. Well, that, unfortunately, is the end of Cavalier's Believe It or Not for another day.
Wow. That's some top sizzle.
Yeah.
You know, there's a kind of awkward feeling in here, apart from this weird nonsense with the headphones. I have to say, we got a call yesterday from Alexander Downer's department.
Oh, yeah.
Very happy with something we'd said on the show.
Oh, no.
Now, I had implied, there was a clip going around of Alexander Downer talking about the Hanif case.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he said something like, well, what do they want to do? Get down on their hands and knees and grovel in the dirt.
Yeah, something like that.
And I think I implied on air that that was a line that Alexander got people to say during the act of Congress, as it were.
Yeah.
I was right there with you, though. I joined in. First thing that's interesting is Alexander Downer, let's just forget this.
Yeah.
Not very happy, extremely offended. But let me just say this.
Okay.
It's not the 7:30 report.
What?
What other things have we said on this show? Just in the last couple of days, we've claimed that John Howard is G'ing up his staff by singing the Venga Bus song to them.
That Kevin Rudd gets electrocuted with a cattle prod
while he's on the 7:30 report if he uses the phrase,
too cute by half.
Yeah. I think we claim Britney Spears as being dressed by monkeys.
I think so.
So it's not a factual show.
No. Those of you basing your lives on the teachings of Get This, firstly, thank you very much, and we wish you luck in all your endeavours. But secondly,
take your meds.
Yeah, it's a very good chance we might be joking.
Well, sometimes.
Not me. But John Howard was giving me a genital sponge bath, though.
That is true.
Earlier in the year.
Yeah, but that was their life.
Ah, geez, that was...
We haven't heard Richard giving the Prime Minister a genital sponge bath for months.
Not for months.
Can we hear that?
Just... I think he's been incredibly generous today. Thank you very warmly.
Oh, yes. Beautiful. Well...
What did you use? A chamois glove or a bare-handed?
A gentle Brillo.
Gentle Brillo.
That was factual. That really happened.
Kirribilli House. If you're walking past Kirribilli House and you hear the gentle scraping of a Brillo pad on old man's nads, it's just Mars land.
You're listening to Get This. Oh, we're back in stereo.
This is good.
In stereo over my head.
Hey, Tone.
You just hear Toho's Africa just on the edge of my consciousness.
We're back on FM.
Keep a distance to way to be. Look, let's get this around the nation on Triple M. Where?
The cupping procedure reveals all, including texture, smell, and, of course, taste.
I think he's been incredibly generous, and I thank him very warmly.
Sucking up to the Prime Minister.
Okay, sorry, that was the second wash.
How did you get close enough to him to offer it?
How do you mean? How did I get past all the security?
Yeah.
Just offered a sponge and a smile. Yeah. Obviously flashed a little bit of leg.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're straight in.
Yep, exactly. That's the way in.
I don't know whether our sponsors will be happy with that imagery. The Nissan Navara, huge pulling power, rugged good looks, so much storage space. Only one thing has more storage space than the Nissan Navara.
Which is
the Triple M website.
Oh, man.
TripleM.com.au.
So much storage space, so much old gear.
Mm.
Get on to the Get This part, get on to the prior releases. So many hours of work wasted.
Brilliant.
That's
guaranteed.
How many emails do we get that just begin, oh, I've just wasted 2 days at work?
Good.
Plowing through your prior releases.
Good.
The podcast, etc. It's all there. And, of course, the gallery, the lookalike gallery.
The lookalike galleries.
People haven't sent any new ones in for a while, but they're starting to come good. Mary Gerard reckons I look like this character from the Time Warp Trio. I can't see the resemblance.
Plus,
you're almost a genre tone. Skinny bloke with round glasses.
Because everyone else has abandoned the round glasses.
I have. You're the only hope.
I'm just hanging in there. You know, let's go international. What is happening around the world?
Well, Tone, we're thinking about maybe talking about the Netherlands today.
The Netherlands?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, Tone, because...
Global One Dutch.
Hello, new listeners. That can't be explained.
What do you mean people want Dutch?
A lot of people emailing in, Tone, about Guess Who and Guess Where. Stuart Van Eysen has written in and said that Rex Hunt's recently been to the Netherlands.
So it looks like there's something rotten in the state of the Netherlands.
Well, hang on, Pierre Van Hoogendaal. Let's just wait 1 second and hear what happened. Stuart writes in and says that he recently had a family reunion with a bunch of my relatives who'd flown in fresh from Holland. At one point, I went fishing with them, and somehow the name Rex Hunt came up in conversation.
Right.
Well, it turns out that Rex Hunt is huge in the Netherlands. He's on every morning, and they all know who he is. They don't particularly like him, and they all think he's a bit crazy, but they do know who he is.
This is dizzy stuff, folks.
Beautifully pointed throughout the segment, I think. Nicely cute.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're perhaps a little cynical about Rexy's involvement in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Well, himself, thank you, Stuart.
Just giving the Prime Minister a sponge bath in the Netherlands a moment ago.
That's right. Just dress up as Jared Henderson and make your way past the security.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Look, you know, while we're talking about the Netherlands and, you know, stuff that, well, goes on in Europe, in countries that may or may not exist, like, I'm still not convinced there is such a place as the Ukraine.
I mean, I get a lot of emails from there.
Mm.
A lot of gold.
Mm.
A lot of gold that I'm being asked to store on behalf of somebody else.
Why your place?
I don't know. I'm just being targeted. How many times a week do I win $1 million and discover I'm king of Nigeria? But now, someone else.
Okay. Burkhan Citizen has emailed us. He says, I was looking through a friend's blog.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
I found something that might be of interest to the Get This team. This is an ad for someone called Dr. Sam, who's based in, he's a traditional healer, astrologer, fortune teller from West Africa.
Oh, yeah.
He's based in South Africa. Oh. And this is his ad that shows up on a lot of people's pages.
Okay.
Like a standard one.
I've got a lot of ailments. What can Dr. Sam do for me?
A miracle doctor that tells you all your problems.
Good.
He has powerful herbs that treat a number of diseases and problems, like he removes bad luck and gives good one.
Wow.
Win court cases, protection at home, business cars, etc.
You win a court case with a herb?
I plead oregano, Your Honor.
Win lovers at work, school, home, etc.
Right, now, what's his number? Win lovers at work, now we're talking.
At school. Fantastic. Well, at home. Win some lovers at home.
What the truck. There is so much action here at home.
You will not give me another look.
Well, there we go. The herb.
Listen to this, though. The sexual problems of men and women,
mm-hmm.
We make men's penis,
yep,
big, tall, strong, permanently.
Mm.
And just so that you don't think the men are getting all the action, this is word for word, we make women's vaginas small and restore virginity. What are these herbs? We restore women's natural sweetness in bed. So when they've got a bit George and Mildred, bam!
Mm-hmm.
Some of these herbs sorted. Win lotto, Christine.
Just have your coffee turned off, Mike, if you would, Richard.
It was just a loud one.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. Win lotto, casino, and restore talent.
So if you'd been on potluck in the mid-90s and the dancing with the piece of wood didn't go too well, get some herbs, bang, you're back out there, Australia's got talent.
There's something good. Getting jobs quickly, promotion at work, passing exams and securing loans quickly.
Not bad.
Quickly. Got a lot to do, though, with all that action at home.
That guy that came in for the loan, he smelled of basil. Put him at the top of the pile.
Women wanting to be attractive, quick marriage, quick divorce. That's what they're looking for, the lady.
Now, I can think of a herb that would help you with quick divorce. If you came home, you know, smothered in manure every day, you'd probably get a fairly quick divorce. Wouldn't you read?
Yeah. But what about this?
That's right.
Wanting to be attractive, quick marriage, quick divorce, control wife from other men.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Mind power.
Yeah.
Women and men who can't produce.
Oh, I just got executive producer credit, so I'm not ready to produce yet.
Funding hasn't come through.
Wow.
And finally, control addiction from smoking, drugs, and drinking results in 5 days pay after the problem is solved. 5 days, you can make yourself more attractive, get a quick divorce, restore your virginity, crack onto someone at home, and remove all that bad luck and give some good one.
You're telling me I could get addicted to heroin on Sunday.
Yep.
Get into it Monday, Tuesday.
Sure.
On the herbs. Yeah. I'm right for work the next Monday.
Yeah, and you're married to your sister.
Fantastic. Just call Dr. Sam. He's advertising on the internet.
Trustworthy,
I'd say. Trustworthy.
What about pretending to be someone else?
Yeah, Dr. Sam, I'm looking at you.
What about things you hate that everyone else likes?
Bang.
We had a lot of
going topics.
So do that again.
When we're going to.
There's a lot of hating going on.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get to some of it next. Australia's extreme makeover queen. Triple M, the home of Get This Around the Nation, and we've got so many pots on the boil.
Haven't we? We've got podcasts coming thick and fast. 114 is going up today.
Right.
Can't tell you what's in it yet. We've got Borgus. Now, that really has somehow taken off. This is
Tony.
Tony dressed himself up badly.
You
remember,
Tony.
Badly.
Yeah.
As someone from the Borg in
yeah.
Star Trek.
Yeah, for those who don't know who the Borg is, they're sort of half man, slash woman, half computer.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jess is here. You go have a look at Jess. She's taped an iPod to her head. That's very impressive.
Done extremely well there.
A bit of duct tape.
Duct tape, that's going to hurt when you drag it off. Oh, very funny. Yes, yes. Paul just sent in a picture of Stefanovic. That's good. Pixelated. Yeah, well done. Well done. Here we have... It never takes long. Whenever you say, dress yourself up as one of the Borg and send in a photograph, they send you pictures of their kids dressed up as the Borg.
People, whenever we do a competition...
There you go. Look, have you know, I don't like them.
And then...
Nicky Hamilton is shot.
Apart from your beautiful son, Mickey, who is gorgeous and is welcome anytime.
You're the Borg outfit.
Okay, but thank you, Marissa. That's a good entry. Also, I purposely made the prize very adult. So anyway, and here he is, David Maurice, has taped a laptop to himself.
Oh,
well done, you.
That's a scary rendition of the Borg.
Now, what are they in the running for, Richard?
A remote control helicopter.
Sorry?
What?
A remote control helicopter.
Da-da-da-da!
Oh.
It's Top Gear. It's Top Gear.
So, www.com.au. Send in the photograph of you dressed as the Borg, and you're going to win a remote control telegram.
This really is an impressive endowment in promotion. So, I would say they want us to come up with an event. None of their ideas for a station events have been accepted. What about our live OB from the execution of Chemical Ali? I mean, I don't know why that was seen as a downer.
Okay, plum washing with Richard Marsland.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of that today.
When is that Chemical Ali business going down?
I don't know.
Look at the Miss Chemical Island.
I think they're doing it for the opening of the...
I bump into them in a corridor. Is it just...
Chemical!
Kemi?
Are you getting Chemical?
Hey, Kemi, I want to hear some music in here. I want to hear something jaunty. Something kind of uplifting.
Yeah.
Get rid of that Borg nonsense from our minds.
Get the organ.
We'll be right back.
around the nation.
Something like that.
Triple M. Is there an address people can send their ball photos to? Just a small detail you left there.
Get this at triplem.com.au.
It's as simple as that.
And that's where you send your photographs to be in the running for, Tony.
A remote control helicopter.
That's the theme, is it? You know, this show is...
Second prize, two remote control helicopters. Let me do the old joke in the history of the world.
Right. The deal. No, Tony. Second prize is a slightly smaller remote control helicopter.
Oh, okay. So you could turn them against each other.
Yep.
A bit of Blue Thunder acting going. There we are. Like the movie talking here, and as a result, I believe we are the number one listening choice for video shop clerks everywhere.
Amazing. We've made it.
Don't they email in? I was pointing out that finally Serpico is on DVD, despite the full Tony Danza oeuvre being out. Finally Serpico. So which is now the number one movie that isn't on DVD that should be? The clerks have been inundating us with third choice Badlands.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Sheen and Jesse Spacey.
Warren Oates as well.
Yes. Got the Oates factor happening. Mm. Second choice, Nashville.
Yeah, that's not out.
No. It's not for everyone, Nashville. No. Very, very good, though.
Paris, Texas is out, isn't it?
I think that's out, but I think it's an incorrect frame aspect ratio. I'm not sure I can confirm.
You heard it here first.
And number one choice, Mean Street. Can you believe Mean Street?
Well, I've got Mean Street on DVD.
Yeah, Region 1.
I think I might have got it from the US, maybe, even.
You would have had to, because it's not according to a video shop clerk. I've been buying video for years and years, and we used to have to keep our copy because we had one behind the counter and only give it to people we could trust would bring it back.
Mm.
Yep.
Great.
That's
how we rolled.
Okay, these are things that maybe not everyone's into.
We did the same thing with Lorenzo's Oil.
Let's talk mainstream. You want to talk mainstream entertainment? Yes, things that everybody are into.
That you hate.
That maybe you hate. Let's get up there. Hate that everyone else likes.
Can I start, Tone?
Do it.
I'm going to go for one from the real world.
Yeah.
Like polite conversation.
Can't stand it. I hate polite conversation.
I can't stand it.
You prefer a row.
Yeah. It's what I'm used to. It's what I grew up with.
It's what I grew up with, too.
Let's have a moody silence. so much more comfortable.
So have you been dragged into a polite conversation?
Right. You know the ones I mean. Like someone comes in and goes, hi, oh, hi, how are you?
Good, how's your day?
Good.
What's happening?
Just the normal.
I don't care. Like, just let's talk about something that you're really into. It's usually because they're trying to crack on to you because they've seen you on Thank God looking muscly.
No, it's not unfortunate. It's not unfortunate.
It's not going to happen.
What, Richard?
Maybe they're going through you to get to me. I thought that you jettisoned a lot of the ridiculous chit-chat from one of your best friends' conversational areas. One of your friends told you that all they can talk about is movies.
Oh, you know, my friend called me up and said,
Ed?
I said, yes. Remain nameless maniac.
From now on, all I want to talk about is hot roots and films.
I said, all right, yeah, that works for me. He hangs up.
Gee, isn't that the philosophy of this program?
Calls me back 30 minutes later and goes, I've got one. Footy. Sorry, mate. And I said, why? How about food? He goes, no, if you put food in, you got to put sleep in. I don't have time.
And he's the best relationship you could ever hope for.
Well, that's pretty broad, polite conversation. I'll keep it broad, but just sports.
No.
I do try. I make an effort. I follow the cheese rolling every year. That amuses me. The sumo wrestling is a funny sport. And have you seen this bloke here?
American guy?
No, one of the top sumo wrestlers in your Japan. Asahoyu, the indisputably successful but persistently scandal-struck sumo wrestler.
Yes.
Several weeks ago, he announced he was not fit to take part in August tournament in Tokyo, produced a medical certificate attesting to nerve and ligament damage and a fractured back. Mm. Just a few days later, though, the bulky Asahoyu was captured on camera at a charity football event in his native Mongolia, complete with bright red Wayne Rooney Manchester United shirt. It was not so much his appearance in the match that infuriated the officials, but the extraordinary contortions and back-jarring acrobatics that he pulled off in his efforts to strike at the goal.
Really?
He's now reported to be suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder arising from the ruling that he's, out of the sumo for a while. Placed under a form of house arrest. It's an unlocked house, but a full fridge.
Absolutely right. I think they just place the house over the top of him, where he's standing.
And have a look at him. A sumo wrestler doing some dazzling back of the style work. I just think it's great that his name is Atahoyu.
I like that too.
Ahoy! The footage is out. Atahoyu! You're leaping around! Atahoyu!
That's almost Mino Raikou's territory, Tony, but that is
just nudging at Mino Raikou.
That is the dazzling footwork we're seeing here. And I think a sumo wrestler is the only person that's insulted by being called bulky.
Bulky?
I am ginormous. I'm elephantile, not bulky.
Elephantile? I'm going to use that word from now on. You've combined elephantine and infantile.
Yeah. My God.
So if you're a tiny fat person,
elephantine.
You're elephantile. That's a wordy. All right. Sports, that's a big one. What do you hate that everyone likes, Mr. Marshall?
Everyone's sort of nuts about this Foxtel IQ business, which is something I think it's like a little box that you put on top of your Foxtel
and
records absolutely everything for hours and hours at a time. But, you know, I have to say something for retirement. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't watch everything right now.
No.
I have to save some things. I can't watch every box set. I can't watch every single thing on the IQ.
Well, not without it. And Richard, last night I was out, so I missed the premiere of Make Me a Eunuch on the CI network.
But if you had IQ,
yeah, I would be
help you out a great deal.
But sometimes you want things to be on at a certain time. You want some of the work to be done.
Yeah. Yeah, but maybe I'll save Eunuch for when I retire.
Okay.
Is that okay?
All right, guys. So what is it that you hate that everyone else seems to like? Get it out of your system. 133353. It's My Chemical Romance. Teenagers here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. What do you hate that everyone else loves? Who's got some examples here?
Hello, Steve.
Stevie there.
He
hates answering to his name, and I agree with that.
Wake up to yourself.
Hello, Steve.
Okay.
All right, give us another call.
Hello.
All right. G'day, Don. How are you?
Hey, good, thanks, guys.
What do you hate that everybody else likes?
Nightclubs. Paying $7 for a beer. Mm-hmm. After the $20 to get in, and then you can't even talk to people.
Oh,
you just stand there dancing.
Being punched out by a football was surely icing on the cake.
Yeah, well, but I prefer to just sit down at a pub and have a beer with mates.
Yeah, how do you feel, though, and I know some states have had this longer than others, now that it's non-smoking in the pubs. We're getting a lot of mail in here suggesting that the pubs actually smell worse.
No, I haven't noticed, but I spend most of my time out in the beer garden smoking anyway.
Oh, fair enough. We are getting a lot of people calling in with the idea of having a fake smoking smell that they can spray through the pub to disguise the other smells that have now been revealed because of the smoke's out of the room.
The putrid nature of the patrons. All right, yeah, well, that's food for thought. G'day, Nick, how are you?
Good, mate.
What do you hate that everybody else loves?
Lord of the Rings.
I actually find the longer ones are actually better.
Really? No.
Well, because it's mostly chasing, mm-hmm. regrouping, and in the long ones, there's actually some quite good talking, but admittedly by people with enormous hairy feet and fake hairs on.
So, Nick, you didn't buy into the whole, did you go every day when they came out on Christmas Day or whenever it was?
No, I went to the one movie and that was enough.
And that was it?
Mm. I was just constant argument with a mate. He thinks they're good, but I think they're crap.
What are you into at the moment, Nick? What movies are you into?
Whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, reruns of Terms of Endearment, no worries. Thank you, Nick. I couldn't agree with you more.
Oh, hello there, Will. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys?
Was I calling you Steve before?
Yes, you were.
Let's not argue. So
what seems to be somebody else's in the next hour.
So, Will, what do you like? I hate that everybody else likes.
I hate the English patient. Oh, my God, it's the best movie ever. Watched it and it's crap. I want
I know, and that sort of burnt makeup, burnt to a crisp makeup, it just got huge laughs whenever they cut to it in the cinema. I was it. I know it was a tragedy, but it was just like...
Everyone's like, oh, it's heaps dramatic and everything. It's like crap.
There you go.
It's not heaps dramatic.
David Stratton, all right.
Thank you, Will. Hello, Rebecca. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Excellent. What I've forgotten the question.
You hate that everyone likes.
It's not me. And I had an ex-boyfriend who hated something that every other man in the world liked. He broke up with me because he got tired of all his friends saying I looked like Pamela Anderson.
Like Pamela Anderson, or was he?
I don't. I mean, I look a little bit like her. I'd look less plastic, but there are similarities. But I mean, I just thought it was really funny because apparently every man in the world loves Pamela Anderson, and he actually broke up with me because he doesn't.
And who's he going up with now?
Someone who's brunette and short.
Someone who looks like Linda Hunt.
Ooh, there you go. From the Year of Living Day.
Was Cherie Blair.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
That is a whole bunch of hate right there.
Finally.
All the rest of the callers seem to involve Big Brother.
Yeah, or things that I've been involved in at some point, so that's lovely.
Thanks, everyone have got it out of their system. But in the next hour of Guest List, we haven't had her in for a while, former occupant of the next hour here at Triple M, Robin Butler.
Such a sticky Aussie icon.
In the last hour, we were talking about things that you hate that everyone else likes. Have you got one of those?
Oh, I tell you what, skinny leg jeans.
Oh, really?
I'll get them up. You know, you were a bogan when you wore them in 1976, and you're a bogan now.
Well, there you go.
If you're under 35, do not be wearing them.
Okay, Robin, that's fine. But how about the jeans with the pattern printed on the front of them, like a lovely floral arrangement or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take them off. What if you saw Triple M Big Cavalry walking up the street in a three-piece brown corduroy suit?
Now, we're talking Panama hat.
Yeah, why not?
Can be right.
All right. Big Chevy kind of car.
Well, 87 prelude.
I'm in.
All seven so far when you try that is people with the old book about him in cars and vehicles.
I won't do that anymore.
I wonder why you never go outside.
Yeah.
On this program, we've got a lot to talk about. You know what? We're going to canvas in this hour. Occasions where you pretend to be someone else.
Yeah.
But I don't just mean like on the telly or nothing. I mean in real life.
Yeah.
How do you think about that? Think about when you were imposter or an imposter. Sorry, we're cutting down on syllables in order to get the show in on time. Here at Triple M, Get List. That's Hunters and Collectors Blind Eye here at Get List on Triple M around the nation. It's the second hour. Have you got the special music queued up?
I certainly do.
She's here. It's Robin Butler. You have to return to it through the hour.
It's never going to stop. I thought after the 70s it might end.
Do you insist on wearing bus driver's outfit?
Yeah,
that's what it is.
So I can feel a Blakey forming. Try and keep it at bay.
Do you need any words for a Blakey? I don't think you do.
Yeah, I'll get you. You know who we'll get.
How baffling would this be for people like myself who've never seen this show?
Yeah. Oh. It was recently repeated on Saturday night.
Oh, look, I know.
Just reminding you how depressing and gloomy comedy was in England in the early 1970s. That's not what we're here to talk about. Robin, I understand you've got some kind of fetish you want to get out on here.
I don't know whether it's a fetish or it's an addiction time, but I have been going to one of those little massage places that they set up in shopping centres.
Full service?
Full driveway service. I simply can't get enough.
Right.
I am addicted.
Okay.
You know, they're the bunch of Chinese recent immigrants.
That's right.
And it's, you know what it's like? It's like it's like a cross between having a massage and being murdered. You know, it's like that feeling of, oh God, she's going to snap my neck. She's going to snap my neck. She's going to kill me. She's doing some kind of James Bond martial arts villain technique.
Okay.
And then suddenly you feel really great.
Yeah, okay.
But you just feel good because it stopped. You feel good because you stopped rubbing the Coke bottle up against your shoulders.
I saw your last massage on the Crime Investigation Network.
It was great. Mr. Reenactment. Jessica Napier playing you. Fine job she did. And you know that they're doctors because they've got white coats on.
Well, mine don't. Mine have a special little green sort of tracksuit arrangement.
Really?
Yes. Which I think is a sort of calming effect.
And the tribute to the Prime Minister.
And it's not a Coke bottle. It's their elbow they're doing it. It's all elbows and forearms and maybe a leg and a knee. I'm not sure.
Leg and knee?
This is part of the Stonington Shire. Sorry, we know. So, well, you live in such a posh environment. I have to travel to get to the posh shopping centre to get to the upmarket massage
now,
killers.
What is it that's driving you there? Is it just the pressure of writing, producing and playing the lead character in The Librarian coming soon to the ABC?
Yes, it is.
It's just that.
That's all it is.
And having children as well.
Mm-hmm. I've got to get out of the house. I leave everything at home. I'm not kidding. Bi-weekly. And I'd be going, hit me again. Hit me just one more slap, one more pound, one more pressure point. Oh! They said, you must release your chi. And I said, oh, yeah, but all that's just hurting a little bit too much. They go, no, but you must release your chi. All right.
Is it out yet? Have you got rid of it?
Yeah. I don't know. Does it sound like I have?
Are the kids at home trying to roast their own chicken for lunch?
And you're lying there, and they're really... You know,
yeah, they're at you.
They're really at you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so bizarre because I'm in the posh shopping centre and outside, you know, you can just hear Hugo, Amelia.
I'll be in minutes.
And do they give you the privacy and the dignity of a little curtain? Or is it out in the open?
It depends what you pay for.
Oh, really? Did you get the one where you're on stage?
At 12:14.
You made some cash off that matter.
Damn, I should have read that fine print. This is the story of my career. You can sit at table and chair. Mm. You know, the little desk and chair, and that can be neck and shoulders.
Your neck and shoulders.
This is not cash for comment.
No,
it's not. This is
not yet. It will be by the end of the hour. You'll have so many massages and beatings waiting for you when you get off air.
You've got to go. You'd love it, Tony.
I'm all completely made of bone. That's going to be painful.
What are you saying?
Is that going to be a fun thing to do?
It's not.
Playing me like a Flintstone xylophone.
It's not fun. There is no part of it that's fun. That's the point.
So it's a physical assault, but at some point you break through and it's...
Put it this way. I had one yesterday. And that's why I'm so chirping today. My chi is released.
You have come to the right program for chirpiness.
That's a lovely neck brace you're wearing as well.
It takes me a while to swivel around to look at you, but on the whole...
Let's see how you're miming the neck brace while you did that in the studio, Robin.
Thank
appreciate
you.
That.
Robin, a.k.a. Davros, will have more in a moment. I'll get this. Get this around the nation on Triple E. Robin Butler is with us, and she's been working on... Well, I hope we're not sizzling too early. We've really been getting behind this one, The Librarian. Mm.
That's right. Now, you did say earlier on, I think, when Wayne Hope, my husband, was on the show, you did say it was your show of the year. Having not seen it...
Yes, Robin, but last night on CI Network, Make Me a Eunuch premiered. So you've been busted down the number.
No, you're right. We haven't seen it, but we did see the master tapes because he brought them in with him.
Mm.
He brought in about $1 million worth of gear.
I know. He's a little precious.
Yeah. Can't let go.
Can't let go.
Sleeping with the masters,
yeah.
Is he?
He's at home in the fetal position, wrapped around the masters. I don't know how we're going to play it to the nation, but anyway.
I understand it's going out after Chris Lilly's next business, Summer Price High.
That's right.
It's going out on, I'm assuming, Wednesday
It'll
night.
It'll be a Wednesday night.
And then you guys will be on after that.
We'll be on after that.
We'll just see some, local... comedy
going out.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty incredible.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
The Michael of the Glen not doing a series this year.
No more Midsummer Murders.
Oh.
Surely someone in the village is solving a crime somewhere.
That's what ours is about. My parents is sitting in a little English countryside cottage.
You're solving murders?
Yes, with the vicar.
Why is it called Liberian?
Nothing to do with it.
What you need, though, I've noticed in Midsummer Murders is you've got to have, I guess it goes back to Sherlock Holmes, an incredibly dumb guy as your sidekick so that you can constantly explain things to him.
That's right.
It's a
reason the false passport was in the bottom of the suitcase is because the painting wasn't real.
Oh,
you
go,
how did that dumb guy ever become a cop?
What?
That's so dumb!
Or at least a detective.
Exactly.
I mean, you can maybe be a dumb cop, not saying anything about cops out there, not at all, but maybe you don't have to be the brightest light.
Sorry, there's a senior sergeant at the door to give you one of those massages you were talking about earlier. Let's not, you know, get into the librarian content too much yet, because that'll be coming in future months. But what about merch? Are the ABI on the merch yet for the librarian?
Well, they talk a little bit about merchandise, but we're not really there yet. Mm. I just keep suggesting a bookmark.
Mm. Yes, yeah, well, they love that kind of. How about librarians' rollerblades? Yeah, rocket skates, because they're very big on bone domes.
Yeah, well, it's a natural marriage, isn't it, when you say library rollering, really?
I just think that it's a good look, your face, and some rollerblades scooting past me. I just like that. I don't know why.
Oven mitts is what they like.
They love it.
They like a bit of oven mitts.
I've done camping. I'm sure they would have been quite happy to not even make Captain Kim and just go straight to the oven mitts.
Yeah.
They've had their way.
You know what you could do, Tony? They could have done the whole series as if it was a comic strip in oven mitts. So you had to buy all, you know, 600 of them and look at them in order to watch the series.
Look, we're talking about great screen entertainment and, you know, I'm not sure if you're across the full Warwick Kappa story, Robin.
I'm not across it at all.
While you've been off the radio, a lot's been going on. He's running for mayor of the Gold Coast.
Mm.
He's got a porno movie coming out, hour and 9 minutes.
Mm.
He's working the camera and stopping the missus at the same time.
Well, is that true? Those things
are both.
Okay.
These are facts, known facts. He's touring around DJing. He's got a gig in Geelong coming up soon where he promises the music will be nice and loud, nice and heavy, and not too homosexual. That's unquote.
Which is the same he says about the porno movie.
Absolutely right. See, we've been making fun of his acting, and then people are going, no. The guy has been in a movie. He was in Fortress. This is an Australian, well, made in Australia, a film with Christopher Lambert. He's on screen for 2.5 seconds.
And have a look at that.
If you go to his MySpace.
Absolutely right. Go to my MySpace page and click down. You'll see that Vinesy has done a brilliant job of putting up a photograph of Warwick in action as brain dead inmate, Robin.
Oh, that's a stretch. what's in his hand?
A bed roll.
A bed on a yoga mat.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh. That makes sense. Warwick
Kappa.
There you go.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
It certainly is. We would have been at sea without Warwick Kappa this year.
I have to say, strong quote.
When you were in this time slot, who were the mainstays, you know?
Oh, it was always Paris Hilton, and I don't like to say her now because it's a huge fight. We're talking, this was sort of 5 years ago, though, when we started. Paris Hilton was just getting into the zeitgeist then.
And getting into the internet video market. Warwick Kappa X.
Yes, that's true. Mm. Britney Spears was just starting final slut stage.
She's sort of having a meltdown. She was recently paid $1.4 million to throw up on herself, according to the New Weekly last week.
Yeah, how much are they offering? Never say never.
Well, you can make a second series of librarians for that.
And then, we love it. Nowadays, people are obsessed with posh spice. You know, we need to have a phone in one day for people who are meant to be really attractive, who you just can't see it. You just can't see it. To me, Posh Spice is the perfect example of that. And they've got, you know, pictures of her before and after in the New Weekly. And I go back to 1993 when, look, just a very normal person.
Quite attractive.
That doesn't even look like her.
That was actually, she was a normal person at some point. And now, of course, carved from wood. As you can see, she sliced a grapefruit in half and double-sided each half to the front of her body.
She's looking more and more like the fellas from Bros these days as well.
She's storing casseroles in that face by the looks of it.
What I find fascinating is I always find she has the nose of the people from the local shop in the League of Gentlemen. But it turns out she's done it to herself. Because look, there's her nose in 1994, normal. You can get out of T square, that level. Now, hello, anyone for trouble? She's done that to herself. Why would you get. People aren't really seeing up my nostrils enough. Is there anything you can do for that?
Somewhere somebody's shown her a picture of what attractive is meant to be. I think. You know how you see those pictures every now and again of, you know, this is the perfect version, and somehow I think she's tried to wipe herself until that happens.
Can you be arrested for
physically assaulting yourself over a number of years at all this cost?
Wouldn't that be great? We'd lose such a lot of nutbags. That would be awesome.
And the Spice Girls back on tour, and maybe there'll be another one of those Spice Girls movies. I'd like to think they could just keep making them carry-on style till they're just elderly. And this leads us to, by the most tortuous link in the history of the program, when did you last pretend to be somebody else? I think you've got a few of those in the closet, Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get them next.
Bubbling.
You're enjoying lunch with the team from Get This on Triple M. Brought to you by the Nissan Navara with its huge pulling power around the nation. Robin Butler has joined us. Robin, Dick Cavalli, I saw you having a chat to him.
Mm.
Off the air, was he mentioning his singing career to you at all?
Oh, constantly, though.
This is a real
what
gear change, Robin. Don't fall for this.
Gear change?
Just trying to play some awful singing.
No,
we're not going to do that. We're going to play this.
What possible reason did we have for playing that?
Just wanted to, you know, get some more. I'm hoping that'll count as a song.
Yeah, all right.
I don't think the music department will see things my way.
That was the worst song from two, Robin.
No,
I
thought
you were magical.
The best of them is
the Wild Honey.
Yeah, that one.
Okay,
that one really rocks along.
We'll go out on that one. But in the meantime, I'm sure we've all seen this story. Mentally ill man posed as doctor in emergency ward. This happened in Wyong Hospital. A bloke was getting around consulting patients in a security breach that exposes the worsening staffing crisis in the nation's hospitals. He was able to examine five patients before being challenged while trying to escort one of them outside for a cigarette. Fantastic procedure. Heart trouble? Outside for a fag, I reckon.
Really, doctor?
Okay. He was exposed because every time he spoke, you could just faintly hear this noise. Bottom. And what do you think? That is an excuse to do, as this man has done. A guy called up Brian. Right. He drives a truck. He's just going to go out of range of the show.
All right. He's getting in now.
So on you, Brian. He wants me to say, is Ed an imposter basketball coach? He claims he knows nothing about sport. That is an interesting dichotomy. You do say constantly you know nothing about sport. Mm-hmm. And then talking about, firstly, the Sheffield Shield,
yes,
and then about coaching Bridget Duclos' basketball team, which is what he does, Robert.
What I should actually do is qualify this. I should do a lot about sport, but not football's not my, AFL football,
right,
and rugby league is not my strength.
Yeah.
But I'm educating myself by watching classic grand finals on the Foxtel.
You are a Renaissance man.
Well, thank you very much. I eat sausage rolls while I do it.
Okay. Welcome to the Renaissance. Okay, so you're not really an imposter there.
No.
Have you pretended to be somebody for...
Well,
you know, outside the context of acting.
Yes. Well,
no,
I used to pretend at university when I was about to get kicked out, Robin. Mm. Three times I was trying to get kicked out of university for not attending.
No.
Because I was in play.
And all went same. High five.
A student drama.
It's becoming high five central.
And hello to everyone who's currently putting talcum powder in their hair to try and make them look older at a university production. Which there it is.
Works either way.
Keeps the nits at bay. And I used to have to go and make up a story to the counsellor to keep myself in university.
Oh, we know there's a great one that people can use, which is?
Sexuality crisis.
Sexuality crisis.
Wow.
It was the weirdest thing, Robin. Every now and again when exams would roll around, suddenly I liked dudes for a week.
So I'm off.
I was
to do the exam, Professor, but I can't stop staring at the guy in front. Bam!
Hey, you've been working out, haven't you? And then,
you know,
before you know it, bang, back in the class.
Well, that's
clever.
Practical. Robin, do you, outside of your acting work, do you pretend to be somebody else?
Well, occasionally. I did once pretend to be Secret Thornton.
I can see that
in the phone booth.
That was you. You could do an excellent Secret
Thornton. There is a bit of that, and over the years, you know, she will probably be horrified to hear this, but we have sometimes been confused. Me and Catherine McClements.
Yeah.
Secret Thornton. We could be sisters. We
you
could play the sisters.
On with Diver Dan for weeks there.
Right. I loved every second of it.
So how do you... Okay.
Well, I was in an RSL club in Canberra.
Right, right.
They have a swimming pool all the time.
Sure.
For some reason, I was there, and a guy came up to me and asked me for my autograph because he couldn't believe that Secret Thornton was in the RSL in Canberra.
I think the Penguins pokey show is a feature.
Handling the book rattle. And I tried to argue with him. I actually did try to say, I'm not Sigrid Thornton.
Okay.
I'm actually not
Sigrid Thornton. He wasn't having it?
He wasn't having it. So eventually I signed Sigrid Thornton.
That's
it. I don't know. It's probably on eBay and went for $9 million. How about that?
Going right. And I'd like to think that Sigrid Thornton is maybe intending she's you.
To your house, your kids in the rain. And when you come in, she shuffles out the back door.
To get more fish oil.
Now, look, I know you've got a history of larceny and imposter work,
through
Mr. Marsden, but we are going to get to it.
I'm sorry.
We're going to get to it. Everyone will get it out of their system by the end of the show. But let's let the listeners have a dip. When did you pretend to be somebody else? 133353. Good one, Robert.
Oh, that's a good one.
Echo Beach, two masters in Marthas and Muffins, according to Richard Marsden. This is Button's Almost Fine Show. Robin Butler is here.
She looks genuinely impressed by that.
I am. Richard Marsden always genuinely impresses me.
Oh, my goodness.
It's an amazing fact. How many masters do you come across in your day-to-day life?
Not many.
And then there's one band with two.
Yeah.
And some muffins should be. The Martha's and the Muffin, really.
Yeah, exactly.
So it should be.
Who do I call?
All right. Are we imposters on this program? Maybe, maybe not. But let's meet some real imposters. Who's been pretending to be somebody else again? Hello, Alex.
Hey.
What did you do, son?
Wasn't me, it was my friend at the big day out this year. Mm-hmm. We're going to an after party. Mm-hmm. And my mate looks like the lead singer from Tool.
Right.
And he pretended to be him to try and get us into Tool in my club.
I don't need a pass.
Well, who else has been pretending to be a tool in Cavalier?
Hello, Horace. How are you?
Hey, guys and girl. How are we?
Excellent. What happened, sir?
I drive an excavator, so got the job to dig out a new crocodile pit at the Currumbin Bird Sanctuary on the Gold Coast.
Right. Wonderful sanctuary.
It's a beautiful sanctuary. And I jumped out with the excavator to take some levels down the bottom there, and a whole heap of Japanese tourists just happened to be walking past.
Yep.
And they called out, 7 years ago, they called out, Steve-O, and they all thought I was Steve
Irwin. Oh, you got along with
it? Yeah, I've been along with it. So it's best for them, and funny, because these ladies with their arms around me. And Steve-O.
And were you busting out the catchphrases and the moves?
Yeah, I did. Going up the bank to get to them, yeah, I threw a couple of rolls, and yeah, they loved it.
Good on
the show, mate.
Yes, the advantage, we all look the same to them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Horace, are you still working at the sanctuary?
No, that was just a gig to dig the pit for the crocodile. I go everywhere.
Yeah, fair enough.
Wow.
Dirty done dirt cheap.
Thank you very much.
Well, not making fun, but now that Steve Irwin has moved on, that's an impersonation you can't do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always terrible when that, one day the guy who played Blakey on All the Buses is going to pass away.
Yeah.
And Steve is amused.
It's not going to make any sense.
I always remember when Hervé Villechaize died.
So do I.
You could just see how sad Daryl Summers looked for weeks on Hey Hey Senator. Another one gone from the repertoire.
Thank you, Warren. G'day, Riley.
Oh, g'day, fellas. How are you going?
Excellent. What have you been doing?
When I go out, and I'm probably not the most handsome person going around, I tell girls that I'm a dolphin trainer from SeaWorld. Lucky young ladies from it.
Really? Yeah. Do you carry a whistle and a bucket of pilchards just to make the story look kosher?
No. If I receive a phone call or something, like it's usually mum as well, I pretend it's another trainer and we're talking about the dolphins.
And what kind of technical shtick do you come out with to make this convincing?
I just say, make up random names and say, why don't you move that dolphin to the other enclosure and vice versa?
Fantastic.
Wow. It's not a brilliant plan, but it's a really great plan.
Because it's so specific.
Yes. And women love dolphins, so clearly they're going to love a man who can communicate with dolphins and be in command of dolphins.
Try a bit of that. Ladies love that.
Good on you, Riley. I mean,
Sorry,
that should have been beeped. Yeah. That shouldn't have gone to air. That's very fruity.
Thank you, Riley. G'day, James.
Morning, how are you?
Excellent, how are you?
Not morning, it's afternoon, sorry.
Maybe it is morning in Craigieburn. What's going on, James?
Yes, to impress a girl and hopefully impress her even more, I pretended I was Humphrey B. Bear.
So do you do some of the moves as well? Do you pretend you do a bit of the dancing and stuff?
No, I say that's a stunt double.
Stunt double? So you don't even do your own stunts?
No.
Well, because, I mean, what else does Humphrey do? I mean, he doesn't talk. So if he's not doing the moves, then what's he doing? What are you doing in the suit? Your plan's not going to work.
How's it go, James?
Well, I just say, I ask them what I do, and I say, well, I'm in the entertainment business, and they say, yeah, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm the man that plays Humphrey, and they go, you're kidding, and, yeah, take it from there.
And they're really impressed by that?
They are, too.
So they want you to, you know, put the suit on, don the boudoir?
Yeah, well, I've actually had one request, and I say, I can't take the costume home with me.
But it's like this business that's going on with the Work Choices ad, with the, you know, the allegedly dodgy...
Oh, the bloke.
The actor, who's sadly named Damien Richardson, and the man more well-known...
He's on City Homicide.
An excellent actor called Damien Richardson, who must be getting a lot of bad press out of this. But last night they're going, this is the man accused, and they're cutting the footage of Fat Cat. Very hard to...
Fat Cat been through enough.
I know.
That just seems unfair.
I think we've got time for one more imposter. Who's it going to be?
Hi, Peter, how are you?
G'day, guys, how are you?
Excellent. What have you been doing?
This was probably more than 20 years ago, school holidays, me and my brother were a bit bored, so we just randomly pulled a number out of the phone book, and I managed to convince this guy was from Gattasols and that he'd won second division in Tassalotto. So I just managed to pull a number out of Collins Street in Melbourne and asked him to come in the next day between 11 and 1 and collect his prize.
Then a week later, he did actually win and didn't believe it.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's an imposter. Pretend to be a lotto official. I would like to be one of those three adjudicators on the lotto.
So serious. What exactly are they looking for?
Don't you think they should get Kyle one week to just...
Yeah, have a go with the numbers.
That was bullshit. That was bullshit, number 9.
Call that 17. Doesn't look like 17 from where I sit. All right, thank you. You bitch of flakes for calling in. Next up, I don't know what it's going to be. But it's going to be something good.
Here it is.
Former resident of this time slot is sitting in with us. I don't know when you were doing your show, Robin, whether you were able to generate what's called water cooler talk.
Never. I don't think it wasn't without valiant effort, but never got a game going.
We've been having a crack at it here. I don't know if we're really getting it right.
You could, you could get all of the empty ones.
Oh, yeah.
And build a,
fortress?
Yeah. It's slightly pointless, though, because it'd be clear, so people would be able to see when you're inside.
Clear Fortress, that's not very useful.
I used to go out with a girl called Clear Fortress.
Something else to really get the nation a buzz. I think we may have found something. Matt Dow on the Pots and Pans.
Yeah.
You were with Matty. He's brilliant. We love his work. He's told us to play this number in the computer. I don't even know what it is, Robin.
Mm.
We haven't even previewed this. May not even be safe for work. Just hit that button, Richard.
So pure, so pure. That was me. Oh, be sure. He was nobody. try. You won't know if you don't try. Come on over. Come on over. I'm beautiful.
You could do that.
Live.
Great. That is from the Tough Love Archives here in Triple M. Isn't it good to know that nothing is ever erased?
Except the good stuff.
Except that Justify Your Tat song that Richard
went up
and ended. We've had so many requests, no one seems to be able to
find
it.
We can redo it.
We can redo it. All right. Does that count as a song, Nikki? No, it doesn't. Song, then we'll be back in a moment again. Get this on Triple M. Thank you for sitting in for the